This is our State Capitol Report, when we bring you up to date on the top stories making news in the State Capitol. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, December 17th. And as usual, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter Sean Johnson is with us for the first half of our State Capitol Report with a roundup of the top stories in state politics over the past week and a preview of what's to come. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Well, let's talk a little bit first about same-day voter registration and how the governor is not so supportive of ending same-day voter registration anymore now that he learned the price tag.
Yeah, this is one of those debates I don't think we expected to have in November and December of this year. It's actually one that the governor started a few weeks back when he gave a speech to a conservative audience in California. He was asked about, you know, changing election laws, and he volunteered that same-day registration was a problem and states ought to get rid of that. He, basically walked that back over the past few weeks, and then this past week gave really his most emphatic no to that, saying after the Government Accountability Board came out with an estimate that it would cost the state $5 million in its first year and $2 million every 2 years after that, the governor said he couldn't support something with that kind of price tag.
There's no way I'm signing a bill that costs that much money. So to me, as I've said before, I didn't advocate for a bill. I didn't even say it was a priority. I just said I thought it would be easier. But with that kind of dollar amount, to me, that's a non-starter.
And so, I mean, he was asked, you know, some Democrats were saying, well, if it's just the price tag, that gives the governor some wiggle room. If the bill were cheaper, he could come back and say, this is something I could support. But he did go further and say, you know, I don't care if it's $5 million or $1 or $2 million. That's money we don't have to spend right now. Some Democrats, though, said he still leaves himself an out because the governor won't promise to veto the bill. And that's a point that was made by Milwaukee Assembly Democrat John Richards.
What I would like him to say is that he would veto a bill like getting rid of same-day registration if it came to his desk. And that's the step that I'm waiting for. And until he says that, I'm going to assume that it's still possible that we may still have that coming up in this legislative session, which I think would be a big mistake.
And so, I mean, John Richards there is mentioning, a provision in our Constitution that says that after a bill arrives on the governor's desk, if he doesn't act on it, it would become law or could become law in 6 days. So it's an option that the governor at this point in his term hasn't used. It's rarely used in Wisconsin. It is a technicality that's still out there. But, you know, you did hear the governor's comments there. Definitely the most emphatic no you've heard from him on same-day registration.
Yeah, so
same-day registration.
We don't think, Sean, based on this, that there will be a bill proceeding to his desk that would end same-day voter registration in Wisconsin?
Well, I mean, up till now, he's really set the agenda for the legislature and not so much the other way around. So, there are still lawmakers who've expressed an interest in this, but, whether they move forward with this and have hearings or pass it out of the assembly or something along those lines, we don't know for sure, but they sounded like they were walking back their comments as well, if the governor is saying we don't want to do this.
Let's talk a little bit about Wisconsin's reaction to the boisterous right-to-work battle that happened in Michigan last week, Sean.
Yeah, it happened extremely quickly in Michigan. The governor there had said that he didn't support that because it would divide the states. But then, one day showed up with Republican legislative leaders and said that, he had changed his mind on that, Rick Snyder. And so on the day that Rick Snyder was signing the right to work law, Governor Walker was asked if, he would sign a right to work law in Wisconsin or if he promised to veto a right to work law in Wisconsin. Again, this is something where the governor won't promise a veto, but he said that he thought that this year it would be a huge distraction for the state, and he said that it would lead to the kind of uncertainty that you saw during the recalls of the last couple years, and he didn't think that small businesses wanted that.
employers, particularly small businesses, looked at the protest, looked at the recalls, looked at the recall again, had a lot of question marks as to what was going to happen next. And I think things have stabled down, or gotten stable. They've calmed down. The last thing I want to do is create that kind of sense of uncertainty out there. And I think legislation like that would do that. It's not about thinking it's right or wrong or changing positions. It's just as simple as I think that would be a huge, huge distraction, not just from a legislative agenda and from the state budget, but just from employers who I think finally are now in a place where they're starting to feel comfortable about growing in the state of Wisconsin.
So, I mean, the governor said he didn't want a repeat of last year, essentially, with the massive protests.
Yeah. Other things that happened last week, there was a bit of a to-do over a request to spend about $500,000 on remodeling the kitchen in the governor's mansion. And apparently now the governor has withdrawn the request for public money for this?
Yeah, I mean, it was withdrawn. The request that was before the State Building Commission, and they're going to try to move forward with that through private donations now. But this is something that, you know, when people saw that kind of price tag for a kitchen remodel, you know, it got some people's eyes popped out. The governor says this is an industrial kitchen, basically, or a commercial kitchen. It's for entertaining large groups of people. It's not my kitchen. I eat my breakfast in Wauwatosa.
On our Week in Review program, Sean, there was some questioning whether seeking private donations was the right thing for the governor to do, because it's, in essence, could be looked at as almost a campaign contribution.
Yeah, I mean, the danger you run into is that there's, a perceived quid pro quo anytime you have a situation like this. The governor says that, you know, what they want to do is showcase Wisconsin-based companies that build this kind of equipment and say, look, this was donated by this company. When you do this kind of stuff, I believe the disclosure requirements are a lot less stringent than in, you know, campaign law, where you know where everybody gives to the governor when it comes to his campaign, at least. And the danger with something like this is it's a little less strict.
We're talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about the latest developments in state politics. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about Governor Walker's agenda for schools in the state and some other issues making news, and welcoming your thoughts and questions for Sean at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today: cloudy and cold with highs in the 30s. Tonight, continued cloudy and cold with lows in the 20s. And then tomorrow, there is a chance of snow. Otherwise, cloudy and cold tomorrow, highs in the low to mid-30s. And then there is a chance of a pretty substantial snowstorm moving in Wednesday night into Thursday. Several inches of snow possible. So watch out for that. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, December 17th. Coming up later today on the Ideas Network, we will have more on the shooting in Connecticut, and talk about what can be done to prevent such tragedies in the future. We'll also be devoting a number of hours this week to that question. Tomorrow between 7 and 8, we will be bringing you another angle on the Connecticut elementary school shooting. This is our State Capitol Report, talking for this half with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. And Sean, how is Wisconsin reacting to the shooting in Connecticut?
I mean, aside from the great sadness that everybody feels everywhere, I think we'll find out this week what shape the gun debate takes in Wisconsin, or we'll start to find out this week what shape it takes. Our legislative session, you know, doesn't begin until January, doesn't really get into full swing until, a little later. So there's nothing firm out there, but you did see a couple different views on this issue. quoted in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here, Mayor Tom Barrett, who would favor a ban on habitual criminals from obtaining concealed carry permits, and require that private gun sales be subject to criminal background checks performed by a federally licensed gun dealer, a variety of other gun control measures. Senator Alberta Darling, a Republican senator from River Hills, was quoted talking about concealed carry law here in Wisconsin. She was a supporter of concealed carry, but she's quoted as saying as one of her concerns is that the Wisconsin concealed carry law exempts places like schools and daycare centers, and she said that makes them a target because shooters could assume that no one inside the building has a gun. So vastly different ideas there of how to proceed there. And of course, you heard from the president last night that something's going to, you know, he's going to push something at the federal level.
And we will continue to follow these developments as they develop. Speaking of schools, the governor is talking about expanding the school voucher program, Sean?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about what he's not going to do or what he doesn't want to do. He has talked repeatedly about transforming education, in his words. And so he was at a voucher school last week, covered by WPR's Chuck Quirnbach. And he was asked by a gentleman from Kenosha, I like these voucher schools, and these are taxpayer-funded private schools. Can we have voucher schools in Kenosha? And the governor, basically left that as a possibility, and he was asked afterward whether, there would be some kind of expansion of the voucher program in the coming year, and he definitely left that as an option.
It's an option. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. Certainly the way to do it, how to define community support. The other part is just the response of the legislature. We want things to move forward as positively as possible. And, part of it's going to be getting a feel for where we think the legislature's at as well. But I think there's some interest. I mean, you heard the one gentleman from Kenosha. For us, though, part of it would have to be it's not just a handful of people, but there'd have to be a sense of what kind of community support is there for something like that before we go forward with it.
So the governor there is talking about a measure of some kind of community support, and that was an issue when they talked about expanding voucher schools to Green Bay this last legislative mm-hmm. session. They were going to tuck that into the budget when it was in the legislative process in the Joint Finance Committee. And that was an issue, is how do you measure this? And, the voucher supporters in that case did put some type of a measure in there in terms of gauging community support, and it was pretty easy. That ultimately didn't go anywhere, didn't get the support of the legislature last year. So, I think the governor would like to expand this to other communities. I guess the question is, can he find the support for that in the Senate in particular?
And moving on to some other issues, the Secretary of the Department of Health Services, Dennis Smith, was testifying before a congressional committee on the costs of the Affordable Care Act for Wisconsin.
Yeah, and this is a committee run by Republicans, and the committee is talking about the uncertainties of the Affordable Care Act. And Dennis Smith, the Walker administration's health services secretary, said that one of the uncertainties is you don't know how these different populations are going to act. You don't know whether they're going to, when they have these premiums to pay, whether they will sign up for Medicaid or whether they'll whether they'll pay a penalty for not insuring. He said it's really hard for the states or the federal government to model at this point.
The law does not determine what affordability is. People will determine what affordability is, and I think it's going to be a vastly different experience.
And Tammy Baldwin, Senator-elect Tammy Baldwin, actually sits on this committee, and so she said if you're going to talk uncertainty, let's talk about the uncertainty that we can get rid of for those estimated 200,000 people who don't have coverage now but will have it under the Affordable Care Act.
If it is uncertainty that we are concerned about, surely those 200,000 people in Wisconsin deserve the certainty of knowing that quality and affordable care will be for them, there for them.
And then, you know, one of the issues that came up before the secretary went to Washington is he's basically saying that the costs of this program are going to outweigh the benefits to the state of Wisconsin, that because you're going to have this influx of people who are eligible for Medicaid right now, they're going to sign up, they're going to, and then the state's going to get reimbursed at the regular rate for them, and Medicaid is you know, an expensive program for the state of Wisconsin. Smith's critics say what he's leaving out is that if we sign up this new groups of people through a Medicaid expansion, these childless adults, we can actually get a bunch of money from the federal government in 100% to 90% reimbursement rates. So that's a question that's on the horizon here for the Walker administration, is whether to go with this Medicaid expansion or not.
And we don't know if that's going
to
happen.
Well,
or not.
I mean, to hear Smith talk about it, it seems like they're not sending positive signals about it, but they haven't said, I mean, the only thing they've said is that the decision will be reached in the governor's budget.
And we heard a farewell from Senator Herb Kohl on the Senate floor last week. He is leaving his career at the U.S. Senate.
He is. Senator Herb Kohl had four terms in the U.S. Senate and used his farewell speech to thank his Senate colleagues, to thank his staff, and to thank his Wisconsin constituents.
Thank you for letting me pay back in part the great debt my family owes to the state that took in my immigrant mother and father and allowed our family to grow and thrive. Thank you for taking a chance on me in that first election 24 years ago and renewing my contract three more times.
He was nobody's senator but ours.
That was
right,
his thing, right? In the first election, he never really had a serious contested election after that. You know, Herb Kohl was... you look at his popularity numbers were solid, and that coupled with his personal wealth really fended off any, you know, big name challengers while he was in the Senate.
And of course, Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin,
yeah.
Senator-elect Tammy Baldwin, will be taking his spot.
Very shortly.
She got some committee assignments last week, I think, including a health committee
and budget too.
All right, so let's see what else happened last week. Wasn't there a flap over job numbers in Wisconsin, Sean? Governor Walker claiming 100,000 jobs were created or something, and then that was revised. And there's
more job numbers talks. I've had a cup of coffee now here. I hope you have too.
This is going to be complicated. So let's break it down for us, Sean.
So the governor last week. Obviously, jobs were a highly political topic in the recall election. They're going to be going forward because the governor said he's going to create 250,000 jobs in his first term. So kind of the question is, where are we now? Where are we on that goal? And the governor said last week at a stop in Pewaukee, they're almost at 100,000 jobs. By a stop in Madison later that day, he'd revised that and said, we're at 86,000 jobs. So I can tell you exactly where he got that number.
But let me, as you clear your throat there, I saw a PolitiFact Wisconsin rating of that 100,000 jobs, right. And it was a pants on fire.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was. I mean, they quoted his own Department of Revenue to refute the governor there. So that was that gives you an idea of. I guess there's an issue with those numbers.
All right,
I'll tell you where they came from. Mm-hmm. I mean, the 86,000 that the governor cited, that comes from this quarterly census of economic wages that we talked a lot about on the recall. And if you use that census properly, it's really the most detailed measure of job measurement. Economists like it. And year to year, if you do it like December to December or June to June, it's great. It's going to give you an accurate reflection of the number of jobs that are out there. And so last year, the governor's first year in office, we have that full measure. So from December before he took office to December of last year, the state created about 29,000 plus jobs in the private sector. Now, that's an accurate number. Where you get into issues is this is not a seasonally adjusted number. And so it doesn't account for, if you don't take it over the course of a full year, it doesn't account for all the, you know, the cyclical hiring in Wisconsin, the seasonal hiring. And so if we had taken this measure the way the governor's doing it, he's lumping together last year's census numbers with the first two quarters of this year. And if we had done this in March it would have shown the state of Wisconsin had lost 19,000 jobs cumulative under the governor's watch. But because take the measure in June, you have this cyclical hiring pattern. All of a sudden, you get a gain of 105,000 jobs, and the state has gained 86,000 jobs under the governor's watch. It's, you know, that there signals that you've got a problem with this, and the reason is it's not seasonally adjusted. And if you look at historically over the past decade, this number from June to December has gone down. And so, you know, history shows that it's probably going to go down again this year. And so that 86,000 just it's just not a number that you can work off of. All you can really do is look at the census numbers from last year and then couple those with the monthly estimates that we have so far this year. And that's really the best available data.
We will, by the way, be talking about a Forbes report that came out last week that ranked Wisconsin as the eighth worst state to do business. That's coming up after the news. Just a minute to go, Sean. What are you going to be covering this week?
Well, the presidential electors, Wisconsin's presidential electors, cast their ballots today.
To make it official?
Yeah, I think I know how they're going to vote.
Yeah.
But that's going to happen today in Madison. Also, there's this committee on improving educational opportunities in school. It's kind of pairing up schools' agenda to getting kids in the workforce that's meeting today. It's just a study committee, but it could be interesting just given the governor's agenda and his focus on business and transforming education.
Good. All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing your reports on those issues and more. Sean, thanks very much for being with us.
All right. Thanks.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter. Stay tuned. We'll continue talking about Wisconsin's business climate after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.